Midday 180 queued up by Ed Lee's Barbecue. Today, live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. If you're in the area, 2408 Music Valley Drive, swing by, watch the Preds take on the Coyotes. 1:30 face-off, and we'll be watching that game as soon as we sign off the air at 2 p.m. It's been a great addition to the show while we've been broadcasting from home and not allowed to, you know, go about the daily show in the way that we're used to. It's been awesome that David Ewing has become part of the daily show on Tuesdays. We're lucky to have him join us for Nashville History in 30 minutes, and you can hear his various chats on historical landmarks throughout the city, conversations. Our very first one was on Lower Broadway. Then we went to Printer's Alley, Hat Show Print Shop, the Ryman, a three-part series on the Ryman, and much more. You can listen on our podcast page, 180 On Demand, midday180.com. Today, our topic, we will tie in playoff hockey, and we will learn the history of hockey in our city as it started way before the Preds came to town. David, welcome back. Good to see you.
Great to be here, Hutton. I wish I was with you at the Scoreboard. Great hot chicken out there. And I know the Hobbs family has been very involved in the Music Valley Drive area. Love John A's and love, of course, the Nashville Palace, too.
We're certainly missing you out here. I know you were on the fence 50-50 on if your schedule would allow it. By the way, you can check out David on Instagram at the Nashville I Wish I Knew. David, today let's tie in hockey with the Dixie Flyers. From the Flyers to the Preds, hockey in Nashville is no new thing, and the Preds actually paid tribute to the Flyers when they wore the style of jersey that they chose to wear in the Winter Classic earlier this year. Take us back to the start of the Flyers in Nashville. How did they come about?
Very similar story of the start of the Dixie Flyers to the Nashville Predators. The city had just built a brand new state-of-the-art arena called Municipal Auditorium. It's at about 10,000 people and opened in 1962. And of course, it was for concerts and conventions and rodeos, but the people that built Municipal wanted a sports team of some sort in there. And so in 1962, the Dixie Flyers were started. There was a contest to name this minor league hockey team. And so the NHL had, this was two levels down from the NHL. And that's part, everyone always asks, well, who are the interesting people that went on to greatness? And there are only a handful from the Dixie Flyers, because at the time, unless you're an old school hockey fan, there were only six NHL teams during this era. So there was about 120 players playing hockey, and there wasn't a lot of opportunity for you to rise up because there were so few teams. And so the minor league hockey franchise had a contest to name the team, and a Harpeth Hall student, who's 12 years old from Green Hills, got the successful entry, and she called it the Dixie Flyers. And it was named after, her name was Lynn Todd, she lived in Green Hills. She named it after a very famous train that came from Chicago to Florida that made a stop in Nashville. So if you were going to Atlanta or Chattanooga back then, you took the Dixie Flyer. And so that name was, and for the coming up with the name Dixie Flyer, she got season tickets to the new hockey games. And it's interesting, everyone talks about, you know, Nashville was not known for hockey, obviously. This was the first kind of team to play here. And, you know, the Predators now kind of encourage younger people to play. And we have Ford Ice and a lot of other places where you could play in the area. But back then, Municipal was the only ice in town. And so there was just no other place to play. And when they had their first game in October of 1962, you know, the best seats in the house, rinkside, were $3. I say rinkside because if anyone's been in Municipal Auditorium and knows the floor, they didn't have glass to protect you between the fans. So you had rinkside tickets for $3. The other tickets were kind of $2. The end zone tickets were $1, and the balcony seats in Municipal were $1.50. And at the time, you know, it was actually a good time to start a sports team in Nashville. In 1962, the Nashville Vols, the minor league baseball team that played in Sulphur Dell, had just kind of gone out of business. And as the newspapers at the time said, you know, Vanderbilt has not been very good in the SEC in the last few years. And so people were really looking for something to cheer for, and this was it.
So I'm curious about the support of this team, because I remember when the Preds get here, there was this hockey tutorial in Nashville teaching the game to everyone. How was attendance for the Dixie Flyers? And also, what was the knowledge like of the sport of hockey with fans? Or was this simply a novelty to go and watch something different from the North and from Canada? And people that went to the games weren't really into the on-ice product as much as the novelty of the event.
It was very novel, of course, and of course, you know, Nashvillians, you know, came to it because Municipal was new and the place was new. The very first game that was played in that October 27th, had about 5,000 people attending, and our governor Buford Ellington dropped the first puck. And it was interesting. They sadly lost the game 2-0, shut out. And that was their fifth straight loss. They did not get a very auspicious start playing hockey. But, Chad, interesting that you mentioned that before the game started, they had a couple things that the Predators have kind of picked up on. One was they had music. The Shriners Band played before the game. And Bob Lobertini, a local television personality, was the MC. But before the game started, they had a seven-minute tutorial for the fans to kind of explain the rules of hockey and how everything would work. And I think, you know, it was described at the time, very similar to hockey today, but this is how the newspaper described it back then. It was a fast, rough game, and a free-for-all could break out at any minute. And people just, I think they liked it. You know, you remember when the Predators came to town and they were trying to explain hockey to football fans and racing fans, they said, oh, it's this NASCAR on skates. That's how we used to sell hockey here.
Just picking up on that, the free-for-all line that you used, there, I was reading last night, there was one account where you mentioned that they didn't wear helmets. There wasn't the glass there in between the ice and the fans. There was one account that claimed that they would take their stick and sharpen their sticks with their skate. And then as they're playing, if you just so happen to get slapped in the shin by, you know, a stick, well, that happened to be really sharp. And that's how rough that game was at the time.
No, it was rough and tumble. And I think, you know, since referees were probably pretty new and not very well experienced, you know, people got away with things. And interestingly enough, like I said, there was no glass, but there was no penalty box either. They literally just had a couple chairs up in the audience where Municipal Auditorium was, and that's where you would sit. So much different from the kind of Predators experience at Bridgestone Arena, which we have this beautiful arena and just, you know, lights and sound and action. It was very different.
It's Nashville History in 30 Minutes with David Ewing. His website is NashvilleHistoryOnTour.com.
Was there any competition, David? Was there any consideration of another main tenant for the new building in town? A basketball team, for example, which would have been more conventional? I know you've mentioned the novel idea of it and that there was attractiveness in that.
There was not. I grew up in Nashville, and we'd always used to say, we're the largest sports market with television market without a professional sports team. And that was the case for many, many years until the Predators and the Titans came to town. You know, Municipal at the time kind of replaced the Ryman as the place to play in Nashville, especially since it sat close to 10,000 people. And you had everyone from Elvis to the Jackson 5 to the Rolling Stones play there during that time. But you know, they also, it was built really for a convention center, even though they didn't really call it that. So there were a lot of civic conventions in the area that now the Musicians Hall of Fame is in the basement. That was really meant for conventions.
Pretty distinctive uniform that we mentioned the Preds kind of paid tribute to at, at their outdoor game in Dallas. What is there a story behind how they came up with those sweaters?
They said at the time, and so the colors of the Dixie Flyers were purple, gold, and white. And the jersey was gold and kind of very similar to the gold that we now are used to seeing, a sea of gold, you know, at Bridgestone Arena when the Predators play. It was that kind of color. And they said at the time they just wanted something that would just really pop and have a big contrast to the white ice, that they just wanted to, since it was new, they just wanted to kind of go all in. And they did.
So, David, they were EHL champions back-to-back in 66 and 67. 51-19-2 in 1967. I can remember the Nashville Sounds in the last 15 years winning a title, but I don't remember it capturing the hearts and minds of the city of Nashville because there were bigger pro sports around. This was the only pro sports game in town at the time in the 60s. Did this capture people's attention in town when they went on a run and won a championship, or was it simply still just a novelty to the city?
I think it was just a novelty to the city. And you have to think that, you know, back then we really didn't, we were just getting into the Super Bowl era. You know, a real championship in sports was a World Series. And, you know, everyone talks, probably the best kind of figure related to the Dixie Flyers was a former player named John McClellan. And John McClellan played at the Dixie Flyers, and he was Canadian, from 1962 to 1964, during their years they weren't that good. And then he decided to coach the Dixie Flyers. It was Coach McClellan that won the Eastern Hockey League championship in 1965 and 66. In 65, they beat the Long Island Ducks, familiar hockey name. And in 1966, they beat the New Jersey Devils, another familiar hockey name in the minor league world. But McClellan went on, after he won two back-to-back championships, he left to join, to go back to the Toronto Maple Leafs organization and coach the Tulsa Oilers, which was their minor league hockey team. And then after the Maple Leafs fired their coach, Punch Imlek, he became the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs and was actually the NHL Coach of the Year in 1971 with only a 33-31-14 record. And lost, the Maple Leafs lost to the quarterfinals to Boston 4-1 that year. So he, Coach McClellan was really the kind of driving force behind the championships and the success of the team.
We're discussing the history of the Dixie Flyers with David Ewing on the Midday 180. Where are those trophies now? Are they on display at the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, or are they somewhere else?
Good question. I've never seen the trophies. I mean, you would have thought that even if you win a minor league sports trophy, that you would get some significant trophy. The Flyers were locally owned by some individuals, and kind of what did them in 1970, there was a strike in the Eastern Hockey League, and all 14 players struck, and basically they were fired by the league and the team, and then the league just kind of collapsed and the team just went away.
So the league collapsed, the team just didn't leave the league. So it was just dissolved at that.
Well, the team went first, and then I think shortly thereafter the league folded.
There were more than one, if I'm not mistaken, teams that played at Municipal between 71 and the Predators. Can you run us through that? What do you know about those teams? I can't even remember the one that I went to
see. The Knights was one of them, right?
I think it was the Knights. And they were hyped up for the fights, really. That's why you went.
I remember the Knights as a kid, and it was you went on a Saturday night to watch someone get beat up. That's why you went to that game.
And they had the rock and roll music, and it was just charged, and you just went there, and it was like, yes, you went to see a fight, basically. You know, it wasn't necessarily – I don't think they were explaining the rules of hockey like the Dixie Flyers, and they were just, you know, going there. It was just kind of, you know, the Dixie Flyers had a bunch of people from Canada and other people that truly wanted to play hockey. And I'm sure some of the people in the Knights wanted to play hockey, but some of the people they just probably found, and they were never going to be any sort of major league or hockey players. They just, you know, thought it was a fun sport.
The Municipal was the venue, the arena, for a good stretch there. I know we didn't talk about this, but a lot of huge acts performed there. I'm just wondering off the top of your head if you can run us through some of the big events that Municipal housed beyond this home hockey team. And I know they've got some pretty impressive ticket stubs on the walls, blown up on the walls as art in the concourses and in the bowels of that arena, including a Springsteen one that I always pay attention to when I'm there.
No, everyone played. My first concert I ever went to, my mother took me to the Jackson 5. I was in the first row of the Jackson 5 at Municipal Auditorium. But everyone from the 60s, 70s, and even 80s played there. I remember seeing Lionel Richie and Tina Turner play there. Neil Diamond played there. James Taylor played there. You know, the Eagles, the Rolling Stones. Like I said, Elvis was in the building. It was just truly a great concert venue. And back then, as you know, remember, Paul, I mean, concert tickets might have been $5, $10, $15. So you could see all these great performers in a you know, fairly small venue. And there were some really good shows at Municipal.
David, as we wrap up our thoughts on the Dixie Flyers, so pro athletes now that come to town tend to stick around after their career. Did some of the Canadians who were playing for the Flyers end up becoming prominent businessmen in the area? Did they own a local bar? Did they open up anything like that around town that's notable?
One of the former players stuck around and opened up a sports bar called the Penalty Box. But, you know, I think back then, you know, people were just trying to chase. You weren't making a lot of money playing hockey. You know, they pay them $150 a week. That's it. And for 13 player roster. So I think people just kind of moved on. And Nashville, to be honest with you, wasn't the same city it is today, that people would have wanted to stay here. You know, all these Titans and Predators, even after they retire, some want to stay here, which is great.
Follow David on Instagram at the Nashville I Wish I Knew. I was looking at it earlier today. Explain what you've posted, and we'll send some more listeners there who are not already following you. You do have some old vintage photos.
Yes. It's like a little Nashville history museum. Sadly, there are a lot of these images that, you know, are not well known or shared. I did post a picture of the Dixie Flyers from 1964, and you could see Municipal Auditorium and how close the fans were, and just no glass at all. And I'm sure the ice was not the kind of ice that technology that we have today, and the great Zambonis, and the, you know, it was probably just put out there maybe twice a game. They fixed it up, and then you just had to deal with it. But if you go to the Nashville I Wish I Knew, you'll find lots of memories of Nashville, of restaurants and businesses and buildings. It's just everything. If you like Nashville, grew up here, or if you want to know more about our city.
David Ewing, again, at the Nashville I Wish I Knew and NashvilleHistoryOnTour.com. David, always appreciate this. We always learn something new each week with you. It's been fantastic. Can't wait for next week.
Thank you, and go Preds. We have a real Major League Hockey team here, and we're lucky to have them, and please continue to support them.
Hey, we've been waiting on local sports to return. We can't have them leave a week after entering their tournament, right? We need this to keep going a little while.
This should be our year. Let's go Preds.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Appreciate it. David Ewing, always great.
Always fun for sure. We're broadcasting from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Come on out. We got a Preds watch party. Speaking of the Preds, as David just talked about, 2-for-1 drinks. They've got oysters. They've got great food. We're about to order food. As soon as Kirby can find us a waitress or a server, we'll be doing that. And come on out. We're going to be here all afternoon watching the game. Plenty of TVs. You're outside, open air. Great spot to come watch the game.
We have shirts that we're handing out. We also have some bobbleheads. Paul, you said this would be a draw, the Duchesne bobbleheads.
People love bobbleheads. So I think we've got four of them. We'd give away two today, two tomorrow.
Yeah, sure. You make the rules.
Well,
declare it.
But I'll say this. We'll give out two bobbleheads. If he draws a stupid penalty, we'll take him back.